This is Jack Hogan broadcasting from the main auditorium of the Michigan State University campus. The applause you hear in the background is for the former President of the United States, General Dwight D. Eisenhower. The General has had an active day in Lansing addressing the Constitutional Convention, and now here is Dr. John A. Hanna, President of Michigan State University.
Be an unwarranted intrusion on the time available to offer a lengthy introduction of our guest of honor, especially when he and his achievements are known to all Americans and hundreds of millions of people throughout the world. I would first extend to him the welcome of Michigan State University and express our gratification that he graciously consented to extend his visit to the Constitutional Convention in Lansing today to include this appearance before our students and faculty. Our only regret is that the time of his visit coincides with our examination period. And as a former university president, he knows of the important priority universities give to examinations. Ladies and gentlemen, may I present a distinguished and beloved American, one of the greatest men of this generation, the former President of the United States, General of the Armies, Dwight D. Eisenhower.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
President Hanna and members of the Michigan State family, it's truly a pleasure to be with you. And reminded by your president that I am impinging upon your examination time, I think that it is perfectly proper now that I'm out of politics, I can try to make a deal. I might appeal to your professors that in exchange for the time I steal from your work, that they give you each the two questions you most dislike in your examination and refuse to answer them, and you get a perfect score on those two. I hope it works. I am always more than delighted, I am thrilled when I am privileged to meet ever so briefly with student bodies in of whatever grades, in the elementary, the secondary, and of course the college and university level. Because the very fact that you are in a school means you have a definite purpose. A purpose of self-improvement. You expect to improve yourself as you are doing, intellectually, in mature judgment, spiritually, in your better understanding of America and its ideals, and of course, as you of the football team have proved that you're doing pretty well physically, too. Now, as you concentrate on this matter of self-betterment, either consciously or unconsciously, you are trying to better the society of which you're a part. Because as all of the millions of people that are now going to school, consciously seeking self-betterment, they are manifestly bettering our society. The nations, spiritual strength, intellectual strength, its economic strength, and indeed, finally, where is necessary, It's military strength. Now, we live under the American system. And I like particularly those words of our Declaration of Independence that says, "We hold that all men are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, and among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." There's two or three thoughts embedded in that statement that I'd like to invite your attention to. First, our society, our nation, is based upon a deeply felt religious concept, because the only way that our forefathers could explain this new and revolutionary experiment in government, because they said they had to explain this thing because a decent respect for the opinion of mankind required them to do so. They said, men are endowed by their Creator, not by kings, not by governments, not by anything else, by their Creator. They are yours because you are you. That is a very great thought, always for each of us to keep in mind, because it explains so many of the sacrifices that we make in preserving our system in the world, because we are not defending from ideological opponents such things merely as territories or trade rights or routes. We are not defending even just our homes or our lives. We are defending our rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. These are the ideals that have brought us so far. And in that expression, pursuit of happiness, what does it really mean? It means that you're guaranteed opportunity. Opportunity. Now, we have heard many questionnaires. They're given to college students, and they are asked, do you want security or do you want opportunity? Well, personally, I think such questions are the baloney, because you produce security by taking advantage of your opportunities. But the opportunity is the main thing. This is the thing that gives you a right to go into education, into medicine, into chemistry or engineering, into the ministry, farming, any whatever you want to do. This is opportunity. Now, it also includes your right to speak, to talk, to persuade others. In the land of the Soviets, as I said to a convention this morning, when you speak there, you don't speak as you please, you speak as the government directs, or you don't speak at all anymore. Now, this question of opportunity, then, is very important to the sustaining of our life. It's part of our life. It's part of the American system. And yet we hear opportunity is drying up. Well, I can't think of anything more absurd. Within your lifetime, you have acquired such new words as neutron and electron and radio and television and radar. All of these things, just a few in the scientific field. You have heard of penicillin and antibiotics, and I admit I don't know what most of them are. But all of these fields are opening up. Why, the opportunities for advantaging yourself and therefore your society by entering into any one of these callings, even the question of teaching. Today, or say 50 years ago, One teacher probably had from the first to the fourth grade and taught them. And as you went on, the ratio gets a little bit lower, but even high school teachers, each one took a class and so on. Today we have a great specialization, a proliferation of teaching. And each of you has an opportunity to go in that kind that you think you are best fitted for and which you would most enjoy. You pursue happiness by trying to make yourself a better member of society. But in a country like Russia, if you pursue happiness, the only thing you can do is to pursue what they tell you to do, and then if you get a few more beans in the pot or more blankets on the bed when it's cold, that is your happiness as far as I can see. It is not the exercise of your God-given right to make of yourself the very best human that you can conceive of for yourself and to pursue the kind of life that you want to. Now, you could take everybody from Lincoln, Washington, Lincoln, Jackson, Jefferson, to get examples of showing people of the what people did that followed along in these same opportunities. I believe there's just as many Washingtons, Jacksons, Jeffersons, and Lincolns among you today as there was among an equal body of Americans of their particular times. You're going to do these things, and the only question is of how well you do them. And your happiness is going to be when you convinced yourself, your own conscience, that you've done your best. I remember there was a football team when I was younger. It was called the Praying Colonels. It came out of a little town and school of Kentucky, and it took the United States and all its football teams by storm. Now, they were called the Praying Colonels. I believe it was a man named Charlie Moran that coached them, as I remember. And they did pray before every game. But there wasn't a single prayer ever offered for winning. The prayer was that each could do his best. And that was people like Bo McMillan and people of that kind. It is doing your best that's going to give you a happy life. And this school is here not to make of you just a great tradesman and better businessman and so on. It's to help you realize the best that is in you. By the way, if I can still use up this 15 minutes on those two questions, having to mention the word Bo McMillan, I must tell you a funny story someone told me about recently, and it has no connection whatsoever with this talk I'm making, but it just struck me as funny. Well, Bo McMillan was a model youth in his little town, I believe in Oklahoma. He was just an example for all the rest of the boys, and he never was corrected by a teacher or his parents anywhere. He was just really model. And he was a good Catholic. And one day he was going down the street on a Sunday morning, and he stood in front of the jewelry store for quite a while, and finally he picked up a brick from the sidewalk and he threw it right through the window. Well, the constable who happened to see this terrible act came rushing over, and, "Bo, you can't do this. Why, you're the finest boy we've got in town. What's happened to you?" He says, "I just want to tell you." He says, "I'm going to confession this morning and I'm fresh out of material." Now, the only message that I can possibly leave you this morning is this. Be strong in your faith. Your faith in yourself, your nation, and your God. Be courageous to follow your own path. Be strong in your readiness to do whatever is necessary to make of yourself a better person so it will be a better society. And making it a better society, we will be a more strong and secure nation. We will understand better the sacrifices that are demanded of us to make certain that our nation is not engulfed by others, that we are joined by strong friends that believe as we do in the dignity of man and his right to be free. You will be making of your nation every day something that is better, stronger, and as I say, more secure. And this brings me to my last thought. Secure. If we do these things, if each person does his best, follows his own bent, with courage and determination and persistence, we will soon see that there is no reason for harboring fear in our hearts. We will not have to live in doubt that we are to live until tomorrow. Let us remember that every child born this very hour is born under the certainty of death. Let's not be too much concerned about this. If we are going to fulfill our own destiny, one that we have largely laid out each for himself and herself, we are going to forget the end. We are going to forget the length of life. We are going to say, how much can we do in the time that we have? And so we pursue happiness. And I think it was no accident that our forefathers put this expression in this priceless Declaration of Independence. The pursuit of happiness, and that means happiness in its best sense, the kind of happiness that should be achieved by an individual who was created by whoever or whatever this great power was of which our forefathers were speaking. Now, it's been a long time since I've been a university president, and I'm not so certain that this kind of chat with you is valuable, but I do say this. My sincere respect for the people that are now ready to begin taking over our country, taking a part in its guidance, and increasingly accept and hold those higher positions that are so influential in our lives. I think my respect for you, my confidence that you will use your common sense, your own qualities of character, of courage and persistence, effort, readiness to sacrifice, you will use all of those to bring yourselves always, every day, a better individual, a happier individual, and will thereby help to make the nation stronger, better, and happier. Let's don't be scared of anybody. Thank you, and let's go.
Mr. President, on behalf of all of Michigan State University, we express to you our sincere gratitude for your willingness to come here today and for the inspiring message that you have given us. And I should like to say to you, sir, that I think no other citizen of the world could have brought out during a noon hour, in the middle of the examination period, 6,000 students and faculty members of this university. It's a great and deserved tribute to you, and thank you very much.
This is Jack Hogan again. You have just heard an address by the former President of the United States of America, General Dwight David Eisenhower. This, of course, is a recorded broadcast. We just received permission from the General for this broadcast, and a real pleasure to meet this individual. He looks well, he speaks vigorously, and he has made many, many friends on his visit to Lansing and East Lansing today. Earlier in the day, he addressed the Constitutional Convention, and in a short, brief period this afternoon, he addressed students, faculty, employees, and their wives here at the main auditorium of Michigan State University. This will conclude our recorded broadcast, and we now switch you back to our main studios.